Coach started us off last week in 2 Corinthians and talked about together with all the saints. And I tell you, I kind of fell under a little bit of conviction last week when Coach was talking about those that aren't always able to worship with us and hear the sermon and how we need to reach out to them. And I thought, I need to get a bunch of sermons together and bring them out to Mark Ingram, which I did the next day. And I need to make sure that Chris and I get together so that he can get the website published. Oh, Michael Ingram. Michael Ingram. Sorry about that. Yeah. Is it Mark Ingram?
It's Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram? Yeah. I knew that name Ingram always sounded familiar. No, I went to go visit Michael. If I wanted to visit Mark Ingram, I'd just go on to Airline Highway.
Yeah.
Saints practice facility. But I was very convicted about that you know, we need to be sharing the word with each other and those who can't hear it. And so now we got the website up and running, so people can have access to that. But tonight we're going to get into this passage in 2 Corinthians. I mentioned this morning that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, you'll hear at all different weddings. If you come to a funeral that I'm officiating at, you'll hear this passage out of 2 Corinthians as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I'll often use verses 3 through 5 at funerals because it talks about comfort and it talks about suffering and it talks about the comfort of God in these times. And so I want to just, before we start into the scripture, I just want to get you to think about some questions here. If you are a believer, a Christian, a follower of Christ, should you have to experience difficulty and pain? Should you have to experience hard times? Or should it be that if you're saved, that life is easy and you don't have to go through difficult trials because God loves you and would never let his children experience hard times? It's an important question to think about because there are many people who make it sound like come to Christ and your life will be easy. You'll never experience hardship because God won't let his children suffer. And there's many believers who wonder when they're suffering what they've done wrong. I've had so many people. I've been a pastor now for 11 years. I've had so many people in that 11 years come to me and talk to me because they are very shocked that they're going through suffering and they don't understand it. So many people that feel like God must be turning his back on them. They must have done something to where they've lost their salvation. They must have done something to make God so mad that he's just going to punish them with suffering after suffering because they can't possibly go through suffering if God loves them. And I share with them this passage of Scripture and many others that we're going to look at to let them know, no, suffering's part of life. But it's interesting, when we come through suffering, we always think something must be wrong. This can't be how life works. Life's got to be easy. There's no way that life should be filled with any kind of suffering, especially if you love God. If I love God, why would he ever allow me to go through hardship? Why would he ever allow me to suffer? There was a book written by a Jewish rabbi years ago. Something to the title of Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And his whole premise in the book, this is a book Kristen had to read for seminary. And his whole premise of the book was that God wasn't going to allow good people to suffer. And that God is either not good himself or suffering can't possibly be that bad for somebody who knows God to go through. Just totally messed up book.
Under a Bible, we can rejoice in also.
That's exactly right, and we're going to get to that. So this is really, really important, because when you go through hard times, what will you base your strength on? I was just at the hospital today. There's something horrible happened last night. Just an awful situation. And this person was just pouring their heart out to me. Said, I don't know how I can make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I had to tell them, it's going to be hard. I can't just sit here and tell you. I can't just say, oh, it's going to be easy. Oh, we have these little sayings, oh, God is good all the time. Yes, he is. But there are definitely times that it's hard to see. And you can't just tell somebody who's going through suffering and pain, oh, God is good all the time, and that's going to make them feel any better. This morning, Chantel led the Bible study with the adults, and it was on this very thing, wasn't it? Wasn't it about going through sufferings and Habakkuk? That's actually one of my favorite books of the Bible, because people say, well, I know I can't question God. And I said, what are you talking about? Go read Habakkuk. You can question God. You can ask him all you want. Lord, I don't understand. Why am I going through these evil times? Right. So I have these questions. Should believers have a life of ease, a life without strife and pain and suffering? Why would God allow bad things to happen to good people? In fact, somebody just recently said, I don't know why I'm going through this. We're good people. Why would we have to go through this? And how can, this is to me the most important question we can ask, and what I tried to share with this person today. How can we find comfort and joy when we are experiencing pain and suffering? See, to me, that's the question we should be asking. Not, God, why? Why would you allow a good person to go through evil? No, the question is, Lord, when we're going through evil, how can we find your peace and your joy? How can I still experience your joy, Lord, when everything in my situation is pain and suffering? How can I experience your comfort when everything around me is falling apart? The Apostle Paul gives us part of that answer in 2 Corinthians in these verses. So let's go ahead to them now. Starting in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you will share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Before we get into what I actually prepared, I want to mention one thing that struck me when I was reading this. In verse 8, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. If you ever get to the point that you are about to say the phrase, "I know God would never put more on me than I could bear," okay, and you'll hear it all the time. If anybody's ever going through a hard time, they will quote that to you. It's nowhere in the Bible. You need to go back to this verse and find out that the Apostle Paul says the opposite. The Apostle Paul doesn't say God didn't put more on us than we could bear. He says it got so bad we despaired even of life. We wanted to die. This is the Apostle Paul that we hold up as our role model for knowing how to walk with Christ. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Let my life be your example." And so if the Apostle Paul tells me, you know what? No, it got so bad, the persecutions, the despair, we didn't even want to live anymore. That's how bad it got. Then I can tell you very simply and very truthfully that God will put more on you than you can bear. That's the key.
God said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I will not tempt you beyond what you can bear."
Right, right. When you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear, but there will be a way out.
And when you are, I will provide a way out.
That's exactly right.
Praise God.
That's exactly right. And that's what I tell people when they quote that to me. They say, "Oh, I know God won't put more on me than I can bear." I do two things. The first thing I say is, "Can you show me that in the Bible? Because I've looked and I can't find that one." Okay. And then I tell them, that smells like smoke to me because it's making you think that you should be able to hold up under this weight. It's making you think that you should be strong enough. And the scripture tells me the opposite, that he is my strength and not myself. Okay, so I got 5 points. First of all, comfort comes from God through Christ. Or you could just say comfort comes from God. But the way the Apostle Paul says it in verses 3 and 5 lets you know that it's the comfort that you get, you receive in Christ. In verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. So you know that God the Father gives comfort. He is the God of compassion. He is good all the time, just like the phrase says. And he is the one that you are going to get compassion and comfort from. But he says here, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. So this person I was talking to today in this horrible situation, can't ever imagine being in a situation this bad. What did I tell them? I told them that you're right. You can't get through the next few days, the next year. You can't. You have to focus on Christ. You have to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. You have to see that through his suffering, the comfort of the Father overflowed into his life and can overflow into your life. It's only through Christ. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So, you have to understand that he is the source of your comfort. Not food. How many times when life is coming down, do you go to ice cream to help you get through it? You can't do Twinkies anymore because they don't exist. But what do you turn to? Many people will turn to food, peanut butter. I remember going over a friend's house, and she was depressed, and she met at the door. I went over to try to, you know, hey, you know, you got friends, don't be so depressed, you know, try to cheer her up. She shows up at the door with a big old gallon of ice cream and a spoon. And she had done about two-thirds of that gallon already. Trying to comfort herself with food. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Some people look for movies and entertainment. It might alleviate your symptoms for a little while. You might come out of the movie excited, happy. As soon as you start to think about your problem again, all that goes away. That's not true comfort. Where's comfort from? Through Christ. Some people turn to sex and relationships, trying to get their comfort from another individual. It doesn't work. Alcohol, drugs, it doesn't work. Nothing can comfort you but Christ. True peace and joy in the middle of your worst circumstances. Look at Philippians with me. Grab your Bibles. Maybe that'll keep you awake, Gideon. Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry. Philippians chapter 4. Keep your thumb on 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and go to Philippians 4. And then we're also going to be in Romans 5. We got a few different places. But Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Our comfort comes from God through Christ, from the Father through the Son by way of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God that passes all understanding. This is what I talked to this person today about. I told them, look, you can't find what you need from anywhere but Christ. But I can tell you something. The scripture says you can find it in Him. Only in Him. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5 says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. How do I have comfort? I have comfort because God is the comforter. I have comfort in Christ Jesus, and His Spirit gives me that peace and joy. So, first of all, comfort comes through God, from God, through Christ. Second of all, comfort is given to us so that we can share it with others. Now, I just said that you can't find your comfort in anywhere but Christ. And that may sound like, well, individuals could not comfort you. But the truth is, people can comfort in Christ someone. If I am going through the worst situation that you could ever imagine, I need someone to come as an ambassador for Christ and share Him with me. Because I need them to remind me where my comfort lies. I need them to share the words of comfort. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I need them to remind me of these truths. And so, the scripture here, the Apostle Paul plainly lets us know, look, sufferings aren't for nothing. Because what you suffer through, if it's given over to Christ, He will use the comfort that He gives to you to help someone else in their time of need. To help someone else in their time of suffering.
One faith. You know, you were talking about comforter and or comfort in the Holy Spirit. If you remember, that's what Christ called
right.
the Spirit. That I will send the Spirit,
the comforter.
The comforter to you.
That's right.
And so he is there with us.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit, and his Spirit uses us, like you said.
And that's also why Jesus says, I will be with you to the end of the age. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comforts us and guides us. And we have this picture of the Father, the God of comfort, through the Son, sending comfort by way of the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing picture. And you just go, well, I don't understand. Well, you don't have to. You just have to turn to Him. You don't have to understand it to experience it. I think that's something I had to learn a long time ago. I don't have to understand this to experience it. I can surrender to it.
But that's part of the difference of being a Christian and having the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Spirit is saying, let me comfort you.
Right.
Whereas we're, our natural self is, let me comfort myself. Or look for it in other ways.
Yeah, so often when we're going through suffering, we push everybody away. And really, God wants to comfort us through His Spirit. We can't push Him away.
So,
no, I'm glad. Glad. Is it hot in here to you guys?
No.
No, okay. All right.
He told Joshua to be strong and courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Where does his strength and courage come from?
In God, because He says, for I am with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you.
No matter what the situation.
Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we're in chapter 1. Look over in chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says, about believers, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, I tie that in to chapter 1 when we're talking about comfort and sufferings, because the Apostle Paul sees himself as an ambassador for Christ and one who will bring comfort into the lives of those who are experiencing suffering. When he says that God comforts us in verse 4 in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. So, in my trials, in my trouble, I want to know that God has a purpose still in my life. I think we say it wrong. We think God's supposed to have a purpose of this particular trouble, which, yes, in the bigger picture it's there, but I'm never going to be satisfied with that answer. God could tell me exactly why I'm going through this trouble and how it has a purpose to it. Still doesn't make it easier for me. But I think if I realize that nothing is wasted with God, then I know that no matter what I'm going through, He can use in the future so that when others go through it, I'll be able to share the comfort that I received from Him. Okay? I know that comforts me. I'm going through this difficult time. You know what? It's not just going to be a waste of my time. God's going to use it in some way. And I've found that every difficult time that I've ever gone through in my life, God has brought back so that I could minister to somebody else who was going through a similar time. Everything, nothing has been wasted. Somebody once said, nothing is wasted in God's economy. I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds really good and I like it. So.
Well, my dad came in my heart, it wasn't wasted.
It wasn't wasted.
It wasn't wasted. I thought it was.
Right. Yeah, so we can be disciplined and so comfort comes from God through Christ. Comfort is given so it can be shared, and suffering is normal. This is so important. The Apostle Paul says, for just as the sufferings of Christ, in verse 5, flow over into our lives, so also through Christ the comfort overflows. It doesn't sound unusual there, does it? When he makes this statement, just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives. You know, we expect it. Apostle Paul says, this isn't unusual. You guys are going through a painful trial. We went through this horrible, painful trial. That's part of walking with Christ. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Right.
You get to suffer today, you get to suffer tomorrow. You know, that's not it at all.
It's like a martyr complex, you know.
It's not it at all. It's not that God's like, you know, because that's really unfair if you look at it that way. Like, okay, you know, Steve gets to suffer, you know, and then but Chantal gets to have a good day, you know, whatever. That's not what it is. It's that
he spins a little wheel and goes, stop right there.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why should we expect any less? And we're going to go through those things too, but that's because of our fallen state.
You know, I think in modern America and in the West in general, with our affluent society, I think we don't grasp what you're saying. We really think that God must be picking on me if I'm suffering. Right. Exactly. You go to other countries that don't have anything. And I mean, suffering is just normal life. They're eking out an existence. Right. In this country 200 years ago, people didn't have this attitude. They expected, first of all, they would have 9 children because they expected 3 of them to die before they hit 5 years old. A third of children died before their 5th birthday. And that was just an infectious disease. Okay, so you just didn't go through this idea where you would just cry out, why, God, did you pick on me when one of your children died? That was part of the way life worked. And I tell my students a lot of times in my classes, look, I'm a biologist. I've studied cell biology. I know all the things that could possibly go wrong. And I'm stunned that any of it goes right. And I've tried to develop a mindset where I'm going to be amazed that things are healthy and why, God? Why'd you pick on me to give me health? You know, we never say that. Lord, why are you picking on me to give me good health?
But that's what David said.
Why did you choose me? Yeah, why?
You know what you said 200 years ago. In my lifetime, when I was a kid, my dad made $4 a week.
Yeah.
And raised a family.
Yeah, you don't even have to go back 200 years.
Right.
Right.
Not really.
It's just the way it was.
It's just the way it was.
You ever seen a dog with 3 legs?
That was all yours. Yeah, no, I had one.
Does it seem like a dog even realizes it has 3 legs?
I had a dog that caught a trap, got his leg off.
But they adjust to it and they go around and then, you know. Okay. I mean, I've been amazed sometimes when you have a dog that actually has no leg whatsoever to balance itself on the third leg, and they just run around like other dogs, and you go, that's just the way their life is. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to kind of expand what she was talking about, and the fact that because everyone is an individual, we don't know just what it is that God is trying to teach someone,
right,
or how he's trying to grow someone. And it's through our sufferings we know that we grow in our faith and our trust and things like that. And so it's not like God saying, okay, well, I want to make it tough on this one and tough on that one, or and this one's okay. No, it's he's developing each one of us for that glorious day when we see Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's maturing each one of us. And whatever has to happen in our lives, for us to reach that point where we express that kind of faith, he will allow that to come on.
Right.
So that we will trust him more and grow even more.
He's not going to shield us.
Exactly.
When that would bring blessing in our lives eventually.
Right. In other words, he sees the big picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's burning the dross out of
it. Yeah. And sometimes I mean, there's times that I believe that you can say, Lord, I know that you're putting me through this because of my disobedience. I think that's very scriptural. You can look and see that there's times. But that doesn't count for everything, because they tried to accuse Job of all sorts of things, and Job hadn't done any of them. You know, so there's a mindset sometimes, oh, you must have done something really bad. God's getting you back for this. And that's just not the right mindset. But an individual will know, I know the Lord's allowing this to go. You know, Jonah. Jonah had a hard heart. He wouldn't be obedient to God's call. So everybody's suffering because Jonah's on the ship with him. Okay? And Jonah just flat out, I know why, because of my disobedience. Throw me overboard or else you're all going to die. You know, so I think what makes it so difficult is hard to understand. It's very hard to understand the why. And I'll just tell you, I gave up on the why a long time ago. My why now is what, basically? Lord, now that I'm in this, what can I do to find strength and peace and joy in you? And what will you do to bring fruit out of my life through this trial? You know, I just don't like the why question, because you're not going to get an answer to it. Because the scripture shows you many different facets of the why. All right, so comfort comes through God, through Christ. Comfort is given so that it can be shared. Suffering is normal. The Apostle Paul said it has not only been given to you to believe on Jesus, but also to suffer for him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. That's a verse that most people never read. They do. I did. because this was something, as a pastor, this is something that people just came to me all the time, especially early on. And I don't know. And I came across that verse and I said, I better memorize that one. Because it lets me know that as a believer, I can expect suffering for my faith, okay, to be a normal part of faith. I once told somebody that if you've never suffered as a believer, then you must not be a very good believer. You must not share your faith. You must not do anything to step out, because the scripture pretty much is plain. If you have faith in Christ, at some point you're going to come across some suffering for it. You can look. So Philippians 1:29, if you want to write these down. I don't know what you'd write it on, but John chapter 15, 20 and 21, Jesus promises that we'll have suffering. He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you as well. And then John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, in this world you will have much trouble. He doesn't say when you have trouble. He doesn't say if you have trouble. I mean, that just blows me away every time I read. In this world, you will have much trouble. But take note, I've overcome the world. So suffering is normal. And, oh, you're going to write them down? Good. I should have given everybody a piece of paper. Yeah, John 15, 20 to 21, 16, 33. There you go. Now, suffering helps us, though, to rely on the comfort and deliverance of God. Verses 9 and 10 here, he says, but this happened that we might not only rely on ourselves, but on God. Okay? We despaired. In our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. We just couldn't do it anymore. And this happened so that we wouldn't rely on ourselves anymore, so that we wouldn't believe God helps those who help themselves. So we wouldn't believe that God would never put more on me than I could bear. So that we would come to the end of ourselves and realize there is nothing in me that can do this. And I won't rely on myself anymore, but on God himself. There's a reason for our suffering. And he goes on and says, we wouldn't rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I love that. That's such a bam! Look, my faith is in God in this situation, and he raises the dead. And as far as I can figure, that's probably the most powerful thing that you could possibly do. I mean, to create something out of nothing is pretty amazing, but then to bring something back to life, that's even more amazing to me. And that's the same God that can get me out of my difficulty. That's the same God that can give me comfort in this time of trouble. And so he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Here's some other verses that you can look up, and I've run out of time, so we can't look them up together. That Philippians 4 passage, we looked at verses 6 and 7, also 8 and 9, and 12 and 13 all talk about the comfort of God overflowing into our life, the peace of God overflowing into our lives. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about the reason for our suffering and how there is purpose in it. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9 says this: during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So if Christ himself learned obedience through his suffering, what can we learn through suffering? Obedience. We're called to walk the way Jesus walked. And then James chapter 1. This is a passage that we always need to go to when we're going through a time of trial and tribulation. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So, I may not understand the purpose of suffering, but I can know that God will use the suffering to bring joy into my life, to develop perseverance and endurance. And then finally, suffering actually spurs prayer. And this may be the best reason overall. Teaches us to depend on Christ, teaches us to depend on Christ for others. In verse 11 here, at the end of verse 10, it said, on him we have set our hope that he will deliver, continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Why would I go through difficult times and suffering? For my own prayer life and the prayer life of others. It's amazing how often other people will be spurred on to a deeper prayer life because of what we're experiencing. When I sent out an email back in November that our campus was shutting down, I was stunned at how many people that I never hear from emailed me to tell me that they were in prayer. And it wasn't just one of those, oh yeah, I'm praying for you. It was, look, I want you to know I got your back. I'm praying for you. This is a difficult time. And I thought, how amazing is that, that God's using this to spur on a deeper prayer life in them. Not that they were deficient in their prayer life, but anytime I commit to praying for somebody, that deepens my prayer life. And so God will actually use suffering in the lives of believers so that his church will go to its knees in prayer. And what happens when we go to our knees in prayer? Well, James chapter 5 tells us that. And this was one of the devotionals, I think, this week. I don't know which was this week and which was not. When you write them, you don't remember. But in James chapter 5, yeah, I think it was just 2 days ago, wasn't it? James chapter 5, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. God spurs us on to prayer through suffering. He spurs others on to prayer. He gets his church on their knees and moves on the behalf of the prayers of his people. If we don't see God at work, it may be because when we suffer, we don't recognize that prayer should be one of the results of it. And as you pointed out earlier, You have not because you ask not. Right. That's right. That's right. Cry out to him. Let's finish in prayer. Lord, we love you. And yet we do go through times that we don't understand. Times we blame you. And times we just don't want to listen. Lord, I pray that you would show us that there is no suffering that is not used for glory eventually. That there is nothing wasted. And so, Lord, I pray that when we go through those difficult times, and sometimes they are difficult to where we just despair of even life, I pray, Lord, that you would show the hope that we have in you. And that you would bring others to comfort us in the comfort they've received from you. And then, Lord, you would use that experience so that we can comfort others and bring glory to your name. So that we can grow in our faith. So that your people would be on their knees in prayer. So that your church would be the church triumphant and victorious. That your bride would be blameless. Lord. Spotless bride waiting for you to return. Lord, whatever it takes, do in us so that we can see your glory. In Christ we pray. Amen. I got to tell you this. I heard somebody one time. I was in the bathroom of this church, and actually, I take it back. It wasn't me. It was my wife. Heard this, trying to take her memories. She does that to me usually. But she's in the bathroom of this church, and she comes out, and she goes to wash her hands, and somebody comes in and had just got done washing their hands, and they go to get a towel. And it was one of those where you pull the thing down, and nothing comes out. And this individual goes, "Thanks, God. No towels."